our time is our life. So how we use our time is a really big deal. So today we're starting this new series, Time. What are you doing with it? What are you going to do with your time? And as we move into this series, this series, three week series, it's really like one message over 3 weeks, because it all builds, it all fits together. So if you miss part of this series, you're going to miss some really important stuff. You may misunderstand some stuff. You may get some things out of whack. So I hope that you'll be here for every installment in this series. Now, every week I face deadlines. I have appointments. I have projects that need to get done. There are decisions that need to be made. There are emails, there are phone calls that need to be returned. There are needs that need to be met. There are people that I need to get with. There are always things that need to happen. And I have a wife and kids that I need to be there for them. And it seems like, in the most hectic weeks, that there are something seems to always go wrong. I mean, the brakes on the car start making some kind of horrific noise, or the furnace falls apart or something. But there are all these urgent demands on my time, when they're clamoring for my attention. There always seems to be something, right? But time just keeps ticking. It just keeps ticking. And it's not just me, is it? I mean, it's all of us. We all live our lives running, scrambling from one appointment, one assignment, one project, from phone calls, from one meeting to another. And we've got all these things that are going on. We've got classes. It's not just work. It's not just school. We've got our kids' activities. We've got music lessons and then dance lessons that we've got to get our kids to. And our kids have, like a soccer tournament over in Indianapolis or wherever. And a lot of us, I mean, we just live at this pace. And we wake up in the morning. From the time we roll out of bed, we're already exhausted. So we don't feel like we got enough sleep. So we're scrambling. We're running. We're trying to get out of the house on time. We're supposed to get away at 6:30. We don't make it till 6:38. So we start the day behind. We're trying to get the kids to daycare. We finally get them there, but it's just rush, 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 hurry, 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 and we just live at this frantic, frantic pace, and time just keeps ticking. Our time is our life, and most of us, we live our lives with this sense that there's just more that we need to do. There's always something else that seems like it needs to get done. And so we're always scrambling to get these things done. We're like, we never have enough time to really get it all done. It's like, where did the time go? It just seems like it disappears. It seems like it just evaporates into thin air. But the reality is, we all have 168 hours in our week. We always have the same amount of time. But how do we maximize it? How do we make the most of that time? And we could talk about a lot of different things. I mean, we could talk about time management principles, like things like, man, you need to make sure that you have a planner. And I would certainly encourage you to do that. You need to plan your week the week before, your day the day before. There's just great things that are helpful. We need to prioritize all our projects, all the assignments that we have based on their importance. Make sure, whatever you do, make sure that you block out time for the things that are most important. Identify those. Block out time for the things that are most important in your life, and focus. Another time management principle, just focus on one thing at a time. Don't fall into the trap of trying to multitask, thinking you're going to get more done by multitasking. The research has been done. They've done the studies. You cannot. You get distracted by all those things. So don't allow yourself to get distracted by your social media stuff, by all the phone calls, all the emails, all this stuff. Block out time for those kind of things. Do the most difficult thing first, the most difficult project that you, man, do that first. Because if not, what happens is we live our lives like with this cloud hanging over our heads, and it just drains the energy out of us. But when you attack that difficult project, that difficult assignment, what happens is it actually energizes you, and you find yourself moving through everything else faster and more efficiently. And we could go on and on all these kinds of things. And there's some help that you might get and some value from those things. But the reality is, we need something more than that, don't we? We need to see something deeper than that. And the truth is, we all have just enough time to do what God wants us to do. And that sounds simplistic, but it's true. Now God wants us to work. He wants us to accomplish things. But he also wants us to pace ourselves. He wants us to value relationships. He wants us to value and see the importance in slowing down. He wants us to see the power of the pause. And we're going to talk about that next week. But fortunately, God hasn't left us to ourselves to try to figure this whole time thing out. In his word, he has given us principles and guidelines and directions for how to leverage our time. So we're going to look at some scripture today. I want to just throw a couple up here to kind of set the tone here. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. In other words, teach us to use our time wisely that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God wants us to be wise when it comes to how we use our time. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. One translation says, same verse, says, make the best use of your time because the days are evil. So we need to learn to use our time wisely. Now, one of the key factors that drives our schedule, that affects how we use our time, a lot of us, we don't even realize it, is actually worry. It's fear. And we have a lot of different words for it that we may use. You know, I'm concerned, I'm anxious, I'm stressed, whatever the word is, but we're afraid. I would argue that one of the factors, one of the big parts of why we live such hectic paced lives, why we live the schedule that we live is worry. It's fear. We're afraid. We're afraid we're going to miss out on something, or we're afraid that our kids are going to miss out on something. What if I don't say yes to this? You know, I don't know what'll happen if I do that. We're afraid that we're going to fall behind. We're afraid because we're going to fall behind because we're constantly comparing ourselves and what we have and where we live and what we wear and what we drive and where we vacation. We're constantly comparing all that to everybody else around us. So we live with this fear of falling behind. Or if we're not the ones that we're afraid of falling behind, maybe we're married to someone who is afraid of falling behind, and they're constantly pushing us in our life. Or we live afraid that we're not going to be accepted. We're afraid that our kids won't be accepted. Or someone's living with a fear that we're not going to leave our mark. We want to prove ourselves. I mean, we want to show that we can do things. We can make things happen in the world. We live with this fear that we're not going to have certain things. We're not going to be able to do certain things. We're not going to be able to provide certain things for our family, for our kids. And think of the statements that we make so many times. Oh, man, if I don't take on this extra project at work, I'm not going to get the promotion. And so we scramble. We add something onto an overloaded life because we're afraid that if we don't, we're not going to get where we want to go. We're afraid if I don't keep my kid on this team, then they may not make it to the varsity team someday. If I don't say yes to this invitation, then I'm not sure exactly what will happen. And without realizing it, a lot of us allow our schedules to be driven by the worry, by the fear in our life. And we end up living crazy, busy lives. And Jesus comes along, Jesus speaks into that in a very, very straightforward way. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to this passage of scripture. This is what we're going to lock in on today. So if you have it, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament, first account of the life of Jesus that we have. The section that we're going to be looking at is a part of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the most famous sermons of Jesus. And it's called that because he was on the side of a mountain preaching, speaking to this crowd. And in this passage of scripture, we find just some incredible, incredible insights. I mean, I love the Bible because it's just so, so practical. And there are three things, three insights that we find in this passage of scripture that we need to apply, that we need to live out in our lives if we're going to leverage our time, because time is always ticking. So number one, the first thing that we need to do if we're going to leverage our time is we need to learn to relax and trust God. We need to relax and trust God. And this whole section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount begins with one of the most challenging statements in Scripture. In fact, at times, I will find myself kind of arguing with a statement, because in my opinion, this statement right here is one of the hardest commands there is to actually follow in our lives. Look at this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the first part of this verse, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." I don't know about you, but that is so hard for me. I mean, I'm preparing for this. I was going to communicate. I'm communicating on this, and I find myself worrying today, worrying yesterday. It just sneaks in so easy. But Jesus says, "Don't worry." In fact, he repeats this statement three times in the section that we're going to look at here. And if God commands us not to worry, then he's going to make it possible for us to obey. So clearly, God doesn't want us worrying. But it's one thing to know that we shouldn't worry. It's another thing to actually stop worrying, isn't it? I mean, it's another thing to actually break out of this rut, because all worry does is it just deflates us. It just sucks the air, sucks the energy, the life right out of us. So it goes on. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" So he says, there's more to life than food and clothes and things and just stuff. Now, in our culture today, in the United States in 2018, the truth is, we don't really worry that much about food and what we're going to drink and clothes. We're not real concerned about surviving. Do I have the clothes to survive the elements? You probably never had a time in your life where you genuinely thought, "Oh my goodness, if I don't find water, if I don't find food, I am going to die." You may have said that. But you didn't really mean that. I mean, you weren't really concerned most. I mean, you may have been in some drastic situation where that did happen. But for most of us, these are not the things that we typically worry about week in and week out. But we worry. We have our own worries, but we worry about all kinds of different things, don't we? I mean, we worry about whether or not we're going to close this deal at work. Like we said earlier, we worry about whether we're going to miss out or not. We worry about whether we're going to fall behind. We worry about whether our kids are going to miss out on something, whether we're not going to have something, we're not going to be able to do something. We worry about whether we're not going to be able to provide something for our family, for our kids. We worry about what other people think about us. We worry about what our boss is going to think about us, what people at school, what people at work, what our neighbors, what our friends are going to think about us. And yet God says, "Don't worry. Don't worry, relax and trust me. Trust me." It goes on, verse 26, and Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns." He says, look at the birds. They don't wear themselves out working crazy hours to save up food for a rainy day, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asks this question, "Are you not much more valuable than they?" Aren't you more valuable than the birds of the air? And the answer is yes. Yes, of course you are. You are one of God's prized possessions. You are made in the very image of God. You are an image bearer of God's. He loves you so much, he allowed his own son to die on the cross so that you might be able to experience forgiveness, a new life, a relationship with him. He loves you. It's almost as if what Jesus is saying here is, do you see that? Do you get that? And then he tries to hammer this home from another angle. And goes on in verse 27, and Jesus says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? All of our worrying and fretting can't even add a single hour to your life. It can't even add a single minute to our life. And what he's trying to do here is he's trying to help us get and see that our worrying doesn't really accomplish anything at all that is positive in our life. All it does is actually just wear us out and stress us out, but it doesn't change anything. It can't change the past. It can't change the future. All it does is make us miserable in the here and now. Jesus goes on. And why do you worry about clothes? And he gives us another example of how useless it is to worry. See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, Solomon was the wealthiest, wisest king of the Old Testament. I mean, you talk about money. I mean, this guy had staggering amounts of money. He could buy anything they wanted. But it says, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God, it goes on in verse 30, it says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? He's saying if God clothes and takes care of the flowers of the field, come on, don't you think that he's going to take care of you? And then he gives us a hint of what the real issue is. He finishes up with, oh, you of little faith. You of little faith. It's a faith issue. This whole worry, this whole fear thing, it's really a faith issue. It's really a trust issue. And he goes on in verse 31 and says, so do not worry. There it is again. So do not worry, saying, what should we eat or what should we drink or what should we wear? For the pagans, that's kind of an archaic term for most of us, but it's talking about those who don't have a relationship with God, those who are not followers of Jesus. So he says, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows, he knows that you need them. He's saying, you don't have to fret. You don't have to worry and let fear drive your life. Your heavenly Father knows that your heavenly Father knows what you need. Trust him. Trust him. You see, God created us to trust and depend on him. But instead of depending on God, a lot of us live our lives running ourselves ragged, trying to control everything, trying to, on our own, make sure that we don't miss out on anything. And God says, trust me. Trust me. I know what you need. You see, that's really the issue. Are we going to trust God, or are we going to keep trying to control everything and be everything and do everything on our own? Are we going to trust God, or are we going to keep running ourselves crazy because we're afraid that we're going to miss out on something, or we're not going to be accepted, or we're going to fail, we're going to blow it, we're not going to leave our mark? Or are we going to trust God, or are we going to trust our career? Are we going to trust our accomplishments? Are we going to trust how much money we make, or how nice of a car we have, or how nice of a house we have? Are we going to entrust our kids to God? Are we going to entrust our kids to God? Are we going to put our trust in all the activities that we have them in to bring fulfillment and joy and the inner peace that we want for them? See, fulfillment, get that, fulfillment flows out of a right focus. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we are focused on the right thing. And we need to help make sure that our kids are focused on the right thing. So the first thing that we need to do, if we're going to leverage our time, is we need to learn to relax and to trust God. And number two, a second thing that we need to do if we're going to leverage our time, because time just keeps ticking, is we need to put first things first. We need to put first things first. We need to figure out what the priority of our life is going to be. We need to figure it out. And ultimately, you can center your life on anything you want to. You can. You can center your life on your career. You can center your life on money. You can center it on getting ahead, on popularity, fame, on comfort. And you can make whatever you want first in your life. But Jesus said, and you don't have to agree with Jesus. But Jesus said that the only thing that is really going to complete you, is going to lead to the fulfillment and the life of purpose and meaning and significance and inner joy and peace that we so long for. The only thing that is really going to do that is God. So Jesus, what we need to do is we need to center our lives in God. Look at what it says. The passage of Scripture goes on the very next verse, verse 33. And Jesus says, but seek first, above everything else in your life, seek first His kingdom, God's kingdom, and His righteousness. And all these things, all the things that we worry about, we get all bent out of shape over, we keep running ourselves ragged trying to make these things happen. He says, all these things will be given to you as well. So it says, seek first God. And His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek His ways above everything else. Saying, seek Him first, not second, not third, not, you know, tenth, or not just add Him on as a tag on if you get around to it, if you have time. So seek God first above everything else. In other words, prioritize Jesus and all that He's about. Make your life about Jesus. Make your life about pursuing God and His ways. Now, if you're kind of new to church and you're trying to figure the whole God and Jesus thing and all that, I mean, that may sound kind of strange to you because you're like, what difference does putting God first in your life going to make in leveraging my time? But here's the deal. Once we get our lives centered on the right thing, what it does is it clears things up for us. It gives us an anchor. It gives us a priority. Until we get that right, there will always be a tension in our lives. It makes a difference. So we need to put God first in every area of our lives. And when we do, God promises to meet our needs. He promises to take care of all these other things that we worry so much about. He may not take care of them the way that you want them taken care of or I want them taken care of, but He promises to take care of those things. So we've got to think through and we've got to decide what is going to be number one in my life. What's going to be the priority of my life? What am I going to center my life on? We got to nail that down. We got to get clarity on that. Now, there's so many urgent, just pressing demands. And a lot of times we get so caught up in the urgent, in the immediate, the things that are just, you know, like screaming for our attention, that we don't pay attention, that we don't take time for the ultimate, for the big picture stuff, for the things that are going to matter, not just today, but they're going to matter next year and 5 years from now and 10 and 20 years from now. And if we're not careful, we're going to reach the end of our lives never having gotten around to the things that really matter most. Not only that, when we put God first, it simplifies life, our lives. But because we don't have to worry about pleasing everybody else. We don't have to worry about pleasing our neighbors. We don't have to worry about pleasing our boss, our friends. We don't have to worry about pleasing other parents and trying to impress them with what we're doing. We don't have to try to please our kids. We don't have to try to please the people that we work with or that we go to school with. All we have to do is zero in on pleasing God. And when we do that, we'll be getting things right in our life. That's what we need to do. So we need to stop living to please everybody around us, and we need to start living to please God. Look at the scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We're throwing up here on the screen. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything that we do needs to be centered in Jesus. You see, to leverage our time, to make the most of our time, we need to know what our life is centered on. So as I said, if not, it creates tension in our life. We're trying to figure out, am I going to go this direction, what's really most important? But once we nail down what our life is going to be centered on, it gives us direction, it gives us clarity. But until we get that right, our lives are always going to be out of balance. You see, what happens for a lot of us, what happens in a lot of our lives, is that we get caught up in what has been called the tyranny of the urgent. And we miss out on the most important. And there are all kinds of urgent things that distract us in life. They end up distracting us from what is most important. In fact, there are good things that we get caught up doing. And they're not bad, they're good things. But even at times, good things can distract us from the best things in our lives. So a lot of us end up doing a lot of good things, but time keeps ticking by. And at times, even in the midst of doing good things, we miss out on the best things, on the most important things. So we need to make sure that we put first things first. It's kind of like this. Check out this video that we put together. Well, the sand here represents the little stuff in life, the trivial stuff, the trivial pursuits that we get caught up in a lot of times in life. They're okay, the things that we do, these little things, but they're not the most important things. And what's interesting is that sometimes these little things can seem very urgent, and so we get caught up pursuing these urgent things, but they're just not the most important things. But our life, our schedule gets filled up with this stuff. And then there are good things that we do. And the pebbles here represent the good things. And we certainly have those in our lives as well. But what happens a lot of times is once we get the small things and these good things in, we don't have a lot of room for the best things, for the most important things in our life. We start trying to put those into our life and we start running out of space. You see, what we actually need to do in our lives is we need to put first things first. And this rock right here represents God, what we need, because in this deal here, we don't even have room for God in our lives when we start paying attention to the trivial, the small stuff in life and just the good thing. But a lot of times we don't have the room for the best. What we need to do is we need to put first things first, put God into our lives first, and then go putting the other important things in our lives, our family, our relationships, those things that are so important to us in our lives. And then we hopefully will have space to do some of those other good things. But the key is that we already have the most important things in our life. And then we go filling up our lives with these other things. And we'll probably even have room for some of those trivial things. Maybe not all of the small stuff, but a lot of it. But the key is to start our life with what's most important. What we need to do is we need to put first things first to make sure we get the most important things done in our lives. Man, for me, that visual right there, the first time I saw it, it's not original with me by any means, but the first time I saw it, that was just so powerful in visualizing what we need to do in our lives. We've got to put God first in our lives. We've got to put God first things first, because then we're able to go fitting the other things in. But we got to get first things first. Now, what a lot of us need to go doing is we need to go identifying the gap between what we claim our priorities are and what our priorities actually are. Because some of us, we would claim, oh yeah, you know, God is the priority of my life. You know, God's number one in my life, and then it's my spouse, my kids, you know, my family, and then it's work, and maybe, you know, working out, getting in shape, and golf, or, you know, whatever, going shopping, whatever it is. And we may claim that, but the reality is, what's really number one in our life is work. It's our accomplishment. Maybe what's next is our kids' activities. And what's next is working out and golf and shopping And then our family, and then there's God. If we have time, we'll add a little bit of God, and then we'll tag God onto our lives. But what we need to do is we need to get honest about that. And we need to identify what is and what should be. And how we spend our time and how we spend our money and our energy, those are things that are the best indicators of what truly is the priority in our life, in our lives. Now, work is obviously going to take a disproportionate amount of actual time for most of us. So even there, we've got to be honest with ourselves. And we've got to ask, is this all about money? Is this just all about me just getting ahead? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we need to do the best job that we can. And as Christians, we should be known for our work ethic. I mean, that glorifies God. But am I working for God, to honor God, to use my work as a platform to point people towards Jesus, to be able to extend His love and express His love to people around me? Or is my identity and self-worth all caught up in my performance and my accomplishments and my title and the status symbols that I have as a result of my job? Am I getting my sense of worth from work, or am I getting it from God? So we've got to identify the gap and then begin to work at narrowing that gap so that how we're living actually reflects what we want to be the priorities in our lives, because fulfillment flows out of a right focus. So we need to make absolutely certain that we are focused on the right things. We need to put first things first. We need to make God the highest priority of our lives, because when we do, He gets fully involved in our lives and He takes responsibility for our lives. So we need to put first things first. If we're going to leverage our time, that's what it's about, getting first things first. And then the third thing that we need to do if we're going to leverage our time, because time just keeps ticking. Number three is we need to live fully present today. We need to live fully present today. And you've probably heard this, but understand this is from God. This is from Scripture. Jesus says this. We need to live fully present and engage in the now. It goes on in verse 34, and Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." He's saying, take life one day at a time. Just one day at a time. We need to do what we can do today and then leave the rest in God's hands and then trust God. We need to live today. We need to live, though, in the present. And that is so simple, and yet it is so powerful, and it is so important and so practical and so profound. Just take life just one day at a time. Now, why? Why should we do that? Why should we just take life just one day at a time? Because when we worry about what we think might happen tomorrow, what we think might happen next week or next year, or when we retire someday, when we do, we don't enjoy today. And a lot of times, we end up missing out on what God is doing right under our noses. Now, some of you who talk about this, you may be wondering, well, is what you're saying that we shouldn't, like, plan for tomorrow? That we shouldn't plan for the future? No, not at all. Scripture indicates that we need to plan. Jesus Himself said, what guy goes out to build a house and doesn't count the cost ahead of time? Of course we need a plan. We need a plan for tomorrow. We need a plan for the future. But we need to live in today. We need to live in today, because we can't live in tomorrow. So if we can't live in tomorrow, then why worry about tomorrow? What we need to do is we need to live fully in today. I know the future can just be so overwhelming. But fortunately, God designed it where all we have to do is face it in bite-sized pieces. Just one 24 increment, one 24 segment called a day at a time. All we have to do is face the future one day at a time. Just one day at a time. So it's like Jesus is in essence saying, you know, are you having a tough time? Are things tough in your life? Are you having a rough week? Take your life one day at a time. Take life one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Take it one day at a time. Maximize today. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You certainly don't know what's going to happen next month or a year from now or 5 years. You don't know what's going to happen in real. You don't know what's going to happen then. So just take it one day at a time. Do all that you can do today. Once you've done all that you can do, that's enough. Live realizing once you've done all that you can do today, that's all you can do. And it's enough. It's enough. Put first things first. Fulfillment flows out of a clear focus. Fulfillment flows out of a right focus. And the right focus in our lives is to learn to relax and to trust God. It's putting first things first. And it's living fully present today. Today. So, man, take some time this week. Pull aside and think through what are the priorities in your life and what is number one? What is the top priority? What is number one in your life? What is your life centered on? And get honest with yourself, not just what should it be, but what is it really? And if there's a gap between what it is and what it should be, man, do whatever it takes to narrow that gap. Because if you're going to leverage your time, you need to figure out what the center of your life is going to be. You need to put first things first. You need to learn to relax and trust God. You need to put first things first. You put God first in your life. And then live fully present today. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, you don't want us living crazy paced lives, constantly driven by worry and fear that we're going to miss out on something, trying to prove ourselves, trying to scramble because we're afraid we're going to fall behind. God, you don't want that. You don't want us living afraid that we're not going to be accepted, basing our sense of worth on our accomplishments. So God, help us to learn to relax and to trust you instead of continuing to run at these crazy paces, trying to control everything and make things happen in our lives. God, my prayer is that we would put you first, that we would realize that all these other things that we've been pursuing in our life, that we've been scrambling and running after, thinking that they would lead to fulfillment and make us whole. Help us to realize they're not going to satisfy. The only one that's going to satisfy is you. And as we live in relationship with you, and as we walk with you, and we follow you, and we live in harmony with you. If you're here today and you've never prioritized God in your life, you've never opened your heart up to him, you never established a relationship with him, you can do that right here, right where you are. You pray right where you are and say, God, I don't want to live this crazy pace of life anymore. God, I'm tired of living with this fear, worrying about missing out on something, trying to prove myself through my performance, through my accomplishments, trying to impress people around me. God, I don't want that anymore. God, forgive me for thinking that some of these other things that I've been pursuing in my life, they would satisfy. God, I realize now what I need is you. So today I am placing my faith, my trust in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross. And starting today, I want to make him the center of my life. I want to follow Jesus and his ways. My prayer is that we would learn to relax in you and to trust you. God, may we put first things first. May we put you first in our lives. May we learn to live fully present in a day, just one day at a time. And as we do, may we find the fulfillment that comes from a right focus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.